You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Gary Joyner discusses the history of one of our most common man-made materials.
Common materials often have an exotic past. Such is the case with glass. It is so common that the vessels from which we drink are simply called glass. It is an almost unique man-made material which usually allows light to pass through it unimpeded. As a bulb or tube, it provides us with a source of electrical light. As a flat sheet, it acts as a barrier from the elements and allows the outside world to be viewed inside buildings. Glass is, in its simplest form, sand that has been heated to greater than 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit and then formed into a desired shape. But who figured this out, and how did we learn about it? Glass was invented about 4,500 years ago in Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. The world's first emperor, Sargon I of Akkad, conquered territories where the two major components had been identified. The first was a method of glazing that produced a thin layer of glass on pottery. The second, in a separate location, was the invention of a furnace that produced adequate heat. The processes were brought back home to southern Mesopotamia, and glassmaking was first accomplished. Early glass was rarely transparent. It could shine with many colors, depending upon the heat of the furnace and impurities in molten slag. The next part of the story comes from the Bible. Abraham, the father of the three major Western religions, migrated from Ur in Mesopotamia to Canaan in what is today Israel. Glassmaking followed the same route, but at a somewhat later date. The process was refined there and along the Levantine coast. Today, that encompasses the coastlines of Israel, Lebanon, and Syria. From here, and the Mediterranean coast of Egypt, it was transported to Europe by the Romans. Jews from Alexandria in Egypt and from Jerusalem were considered to be the best glass blowers in the world. In fact, Roman glass was almost exclusively created by Jewish artisans. When the Emperor Augustus added Egypt as an imperial province, he stipulated that blown glass be part of the tribute. Romans were crazy for the colorful vessels. Jewish artisans figured out how to blend different colors together to increase appeal. They also began creating cameo scenes by sculpting the upper layers in bas-relief, while leaving the lower layers intact. By 301 AD, the Emperor Diocletian listed glass as part of an effort to fix prices across the empire. He listed only two types, Alexandrian glass and Jewish glass, the latter from Judea, then called Syria Palestine. Thousands of Jews migrated to Rome and other parts of the empire after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. They took the art of glass blowing with them. Vitrium, as the Romans called glass, became a mainstay in homes and in public buildings. In northern Europe, where Jews were persecuted in the Middle Ages, glass blowers seemed to have been excluded. No one else knew how to duplicate their craftsmanship. When the Midrash commentaries on Hebrew scripture were composed between 300 and 1200 in the Common Era, the Jewish authors likened glass blowing to be like God blowing the breath of life into Adam. When you raise a glass and take a drink, think about the vessel as well as the fluid. Even a humble glass reminds us that history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.